Good to be home, see so many people that I've worshiped with for so many years. I'm going to read a passage from the Gospel of John, the chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. These are the words of our Lord Jesus that he spoke to his disciples, and he speaks them to us today. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Thanks be to God for his holy word. I'm speaking on the topic today, not just me, but we. And it's not just me that's bringing you this message, but we. It is well known that we can learn helplessness by repeated failures. Like the elephant that learns as a baby that when its leg is tied to a stake by a rope, it cannot escape. In India, they claim that that's how they train an elephant, so that when it grows up, and it could easily pull that stake out of the ground, but it learned as a baby that it couldn't. Past experiences can make us feel helpless over our present circumstances. We can learn to give up, but we can also learn to hope. Some of you here have learned, and I hope it's most of you here have learned, that with Jesus, we can always have hope. Yes, with him and living in him, we do, but not without him. In today's scripture, we heard the Lord Jesus himself say, without me, you can do nothing. Therefore, I would not want to preach this message on my own. And I know we prayed for it, I've prayed for it, but I'd just like to pray again right now that the Lord will bring the message to you through me. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you have taught us over and over again, you have not because you ask not. I do ask you now that you will enable me to proclaim this message about you clearly, through you, for you, to your glory. I pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. The Apostle Paul knew this also. And he said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul was speaking personally, but what he says applies to us too. So let's make it plural and make it rhyme, and while we're at it, the better to remember it. We can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me and you. That's the we life instead of the me life without him. I want you to see how Jesus lives the we life with us. First, we can see the unity of Jesus with his heavenly Father and us. He said, I and my Father are one. That's John 10:30. It describes his unity in the Trinity. And then in chapter 15, which I read today, Jesus teaches us about our unity with him. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Some translators say gardener. It's his vine. Our heavenly Father sent his Son to enjoy a mutual union with us. Jesus pictures that unity as being like the branches of a vine. The branches have no life unless they are part of the vine. There's a special way that Jesus is with us if we receive him into our life, and that is called union with Christ. Our Lord Jesus teaches us that apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a basic principle of the Christian life. We cannot live the Christian life. Jesus can live the Christian life, and he lives it in us. Jesus taught that unless a branch remains in the vine, it dies. It won't produce any fruit unless the life of the vine flows into the branch. And the Bible speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. It's fruit that we need, and it's the fruit that the Spirit produces: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, and it is produced within the vine through the branches. In Christ is a phrase found nearly 90 times in Paul's letters. For instance, in 2 Corinthians 2:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. To be in Christ means to be in union with him, incorporated into his life, so that God sees us in Christ. Our being in Christ is how we are justified by Christ's finished work on the cross for us. And Christ being in us is how we are sanctified, which is God's gradual work within us to make us more like Jesus. Union with Christ involves the imputation of Christ's righteousness into our lives. Imputation sounds like a technical word, but it's like a deposit. When God the Father looks at us, he sees Christ in us, and he, the Holy One, is satisfied and pleased. This concept of union with Christ is crucial to understanding the Christian life and Christ living his life within us. Union with Christ involves our connection with Christ Our daily communion with Christ, our new life in Christ, and our new birth into the family of God. Theologian John Murray said, "Union with Christ is really the central truth of the whole doctrine of salvation, not only in its application, but also in its once-for-all accomplishment in the finished work of Christ. Indeed, everything we have and everything we are and even what we will be, our entire eternal identity, is summed up in this doctrine of union with Christ. It is pictured in Scripture as being engaged to Christ. Jesus is the bridegroom. We are engaged to him. In heaven, the bride, the church, will be united with Christ at the great marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't want anyone here to miss that. It is not only something good for us when we die, but it is something I wouldn't want to miss each day I live. It is living with Jesus. It is living the we life instead of the me life. There is so much that I cannot do, but we, Jesus and I, can. It's not that I should have everything I want from him, but that he should do through me whatever he wants. Nothing is too hard for the team of we. We have victory in Jesus, as we sang. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's Philippians 1:21. And then in Philippians 4:13, our text, he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." What I could never do myself, we can do together. There are things ahead that I may fear, but we don't. When you were a child, there were many things that you and your father could do together, but which you alone could not do. When I was a little kid, I was much too young to walk out on the pier to the lighthouse on Lake Michigan. It had no railing, and the waves washed up against each side, and the sides, as you got farther out toward the lighthouse, actually sloped down into the water. I walked with my father. It would have been unconscionable for him to let me walk that pier alone. And secondly, union with Jesus is eternal. Together forever is our union with Christ. In John 10:28, you heard me read what Jesus said, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Now let's read that the wrong way, the way Dr. Harry Ironside of Moody Church, Chicago, once read it to a woman who wouldn't believe that the believer has eternal security. He read it this way, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall not perish for a decade." Or what if we inserted "for a lifetime"? Or if we inserted "for a century"? Still wrong. Or a millennium? Wrong, wrong, wrong. If the Lord says he gives eternal life, it must be eternal. Some people try to slip out of this by emphasizing the words "no one" in verse 28, and then saying, "Well, no one can snatch us away, but I might fall away myself." Or they may even say, "The devil can snatch me away." But the original Greek is much clearer, though it doesn't translate well into English. It says literally, neither shall any snatch them. It just says any, which includes anything, any man, any woman, even the devil. In other words, nothing can snatch us away. Spurgeon gives the classic illustration of this. He says we may fall down many times on the deck of the ship, but God never lets us fall overboard. We sin, we backslide, we need to repent, but God keeps restoring us and preserves us for heaven. That's the eternal union we enjoy with the Father and the Son. It's the we life, better than just the me life. When you look back as far as you can remember to before you knew Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do you not remember a time when you lived the me life, incredibly selfish? We feel so sorry for our sins. We regret that we were ever like that. But when the Lord Jesus gave us the we life with him by his sheer grace, we came alive to live forever with him, by him, through him, for him. The problem is that we keep slipping back into the me life. So we need to repent and recalibrate our focus on Jesus. When I think about the me life and the we life, I want the Lord Jesus to keep me from drifting back from time to time to the incredibly selfish life I lived before I knew the Savior. Even that I cannot do myself alone. It must be we, not just me. Jesus keeps us as well as saves us. When we try to share our faith with others, it helps to tell what Jesus did for us, and that means sharing our testimony. It helps to write out our testimony by starting with the words, there was a time in my life when, and then just tell the truth about what it was like without Jesus. If we knew the Lord from childhood, we can still probably remember how terribly wrapped up in ourself we were. We cringe to remember. Confess the sin. We can begin our testimony by saying, there was a time in my life when I was incredibly selfish, but when Jesus came into my life, I began to enjoy the we life instead of just me life. I was never alone again. And even when I sinned and slipped back into the me life, the Lord Jesus was there. And he forgave me and kept me with him in the we life. I couldn't do it alone. It took Jesus with me to keep me. I put it to rhyme in a poem I call, Not Me, But We. We tend to think, me, 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 it's all about me. I'll do it my way. I want it all, and I want it now. That won't change until we fall in love with Jesus, who shows us how. When he who first loved us lets us see that it's Jesus and me, yes, we. It's the we life, not the me life, Lord. Each day, let me be, Lord, what you want in every way. I don't want to live my own way, going astray, but always with you. Let us be not just me, but we. Now, third, this unity with Christ involves all of life, even the little things we cannot do without him. A verse that wakes me up often is James 4:2. That says, you do not have because you do not ask. And that reminds me of Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. I think we need something, and then I realize that I've forgotten to ask for it, haven't even prayed about it. When we live the just me life, we forget to ask. One of the little things that annoyed me when I lived in the deep south in humid Alabama for about 15 years were bugs. Little but pesky. I'd go outside and they'd dive bomb me right away. But I especially hated to see the big ones crawling in the house. I prayed about that, and it wasn't too little or too big for the Lord to answer. The Lord showed me what to do so that even in the humid, buggy, subtropical deep south, they did not enter my house. Still works here in Kansas, and I'm so thankful. I have one of those devices in every room of my apartment, even here in Kansas. I just unplugged them where I live down south and brought them with me when I retired and plugged them into the electric sockets here. They work, and I thank the Lord often. In fact, just this week, when the missionary from southern China spoke to us here in teenagers, and she told about having a big one up too high that she couldn't kill, and afterwards, I told her about what the Lord had taught me. Before, I had not, because I asked not. But when I asked, the Lord taught me what to do. Oh, the we life is so much better than the just me life. Now, that was not rocket science, but it's true for the big things, too. I've coughed since I was 5 years old with asthma. I'm used to it. Sometimes it bothers other people. But I realize if I cough, I just better ask God about it. And so we'll do that right now before I tell you about the big things too. Our Heavenly Father, I do pray that you let me finish this sermon without coughing too much so it won't distract from what you're teaching, but rather, if you want to use this to teach the people, then I pray that you will deliver me from the coughing so that I can present this last part and that they will not miss it. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Years ago, in the old days, when men were flying to the moon, just think, we are living in such modern times that the space program seems like long ago. 50 years ago, the father of the space program was Dr. Wernher von Braun. He was the leader in space science rocketry in the United States. This is how God drew that rocket scientist to Jesus. He was seated next to Billy Graham at a banquet that was held to honor our early astronauts. They were seated together at the head table. In the course of the dinner, Dr. Graham endeavored to witness to this famous scientist, asking him about his faith. Dr. von Braun replied, "When I was a boy living in Germany, I was confirmed, as most boys my age were, but I did not have a personal relationship with the one I confessed. When I came to America, I was stationed in Houston, where the Space Center was at that time. Across the street from where I lived, there was a small church. On Sundays, I noticed that the people who came to that church were ordinary people, drove ordinary cars, yet they seemed to have something I didn't have. I watched them from my window, and being a scientist, trained to investigate and observe phenomena, I decided to go over to that church and see for myself. Dr. von Braun is remembered for his quote, "One good test is worth 1,000 expert opinions." So von Braun wanted to see for himself what those people had. No wonder it got the rocket scientists' attention when they sang that last stanza of the hymn that we also sang this morning. I hope if Wernher von Braun came in here today, he would feel the way Wernher von Braun did that day. They were singing, "Soon he's coming back to welcome me. Far beyond the starry sky, I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high." Well, we interrupted the scientist. So let him tell it in his own words. He said, "I went into the church as they were singing, 'Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.' I realized in an instant what they had that I lacked. They had a personal relationship, a personal love for the Lord Jesus." Von Braun testifies, "I received Jesus as my Savior." He experienced God's grace and joy in Jesus. Now, I hope that if Wernher von Braun did come in while we were singing that hymn, that he would think, those people have something. I want that relationship with God. He wanted the we life with Jesus. I know a scientist who retired from NASA and lives near here, and many of you know him too, to whom the Lord gave the idea of how to keep the rockets cool as they shoot into space. He got the idea as he watched the rotation of the meat on the barbecue rotisserie. And he always gives God the credit for giving him the idea. And that method is still used as the rockets rotate as they shoot up into the sky. The Apostle Paul enjoyed the we life relationship and said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Savor each word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens you and me and you. For everybody needs the Lord. It's Philippians 4, verse 13. It's God's word on which we lean. Yes, everybody needs the Lord. We really do. So let's take that strong truth of this text with us. It's the life of we, not just me. And our closing hymn will be number 491, "Jesus, I Come, But First Let Us Pray." And there may be some here who don't have the we life yet. They wonder how to get it. Well, just do this. I'll show you as we pray in closing. We pray, Lord, asking you. We have not because we ask not. Now, most of the people here have asked you to come into their life and be their Savior. And they have accepted what you did for them in dying on the cross for their sins. And you have given them faith to believe. Now, for any who have not done that, I pray that you will lead them in their own words to pray, "Lord Jesus, I need you. I admit that I need you. I have sinned and come short of your glory. Come into my life. Make me what you want me to be. Let me live in union with you, together forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.